I invite you to turn in the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnals to Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 39. That's Lord's Day 39. You can find that on page 891. 891. Again, we're continuing our series on the Ten Commandments, coming to the fifth commandment, which is the command to honor one's father and mother. So it's 891 in the back of our Trinity Psalter hymnals. Question answer 104. I'll say the question if we could confess together the answer. So, dear congregation, what is God's will for you in the fifth commandment?
That I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother, and to all those in authority over me, submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings. For by their hand, God wills to rule us.
I invite you to turn to Ephesians 6 as we see this truth in God's word. I'll just be reading Ephesians 6 this afternoon since it actually quotes almost verbatim the fifth commandment from Exodus. So this is Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 4. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. This is God's holy and inspired word. Let's give our careful attention to the reading of it this afternoon. The word of God opens here, Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. This is God's holy word. May he write it upon our hearts this afternoon as we think upon it. Well, every year, twice a year, we have Father's Day and Mother's Day. And these are days to celebrate and honor our moms and our dads, to remember their sacrifice, to treat them as special, to show appreciation, to encourage them, and maybe even be especially obedient to them on those days. And this is the right thing to do. But the fifth commandment actually declared to us that every day is Mother's Day and Father's Day. You're welcome, parents. And I'm saying that for my own benefit as well. These are indeed special days that we might set apart once a year to recognize someone, but really the fifth commandment teaches us that God wants us to cultivate a lifestyle of showing honor and appreciation and love and obedience to our parents. And not only to our parents, but to all of those who are in authority over us, as we just confessed. This is at the heart of the fifth commandment. This commandment is so foundational to our structure in the home and to our society at large and even to our personal Christian lives. You know, how we relate to one another in the home actually reflects our relationship to God himself. 1 John 4:20 says, "He who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." Loving your neighbor, which is the second table of the law, as we divide up the Ten Commandments into those two tables, loving God and loving our neighbor. Loving our neighbor, we notice in the fifth commandment, it starts in the home. And so today we want to consider what this commandment means. As we are following our structure in these Ten Commandments, hitting the same points for each one, we're going to consider what does this commandment mean? How do we fall short of it as God's people? How is it fulfilled in Christ? And finally, how can we walk in this commandment in light of the gospel? And so may God indeed help us to walk and delight in this command as we think upon it. First, what does this commandment mean? And just a mental note, the first two points are going to be the longest. But what does this commandment mean? Before we dig into that, just to set a little bit of context here for Ephesians. Here in Ephesians 5 and 6, Paul is giving household instructions for Christians. But first, in chapters 1 through 3, Paul lays out what we call the indicatives of the gospel. He reminds us of salvation that has happened outside of us. He reminds us how God our Father loved us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He reminds us how God the Son came down as the incarnate Son of God to purchase our redemption by his blood. And then he speaks of the Holy Spirit and how the Spirit comes into our hearts and gives us the guarantee of our salvation until we experience the fullness of it. And we're meant to view these household commands in light of the whole letter of Ephesians, because Paul wants to show us that these imperatives, these things that he calls us to, they can only be done by the power of the gospel because of who we are now in Christ. And the gospel is what gives us hope when we do fall short of these things as well. And so there's both in Ephesians 6 here a word for the children and for the parents. And we'll focus mainly on the children, but we'll notice there's a harmonious relationship between the commands that God gives to both children and parents. But notice verse 1. He addresses children, Paul, as part of the covenant community. This was a letter, the letter of Ephesians, that would be publicly read in the worship service in its entirety. And Paul assumes that children would be present in the worship service, participating in the service. And notice, he doesn't make a distinction here between children who have professed faith in Christ and those who have not yet professed faith, but he calls all children in the church to obey their parents in the Lord. In other words, their obedience is part of their devotion to Christ as those who have been externally joined to God's covenant people. You see, verses like this, along with many others, shape our understanding of how God regards the children of believers. As a Reformed church, we hold to infant baptism because we see in many places of the New Testament that children are still part of the covenant community. And so they're raised in the promises of God. We call them to turn away from sin and to live lives that embrace these promises for themselves. But coming back to this command here, what does it mean? What does the fifth commandment mean? Four things I want to highlight for you. Two things for children, two things for parents. First, it means that we simply obey authority. We obey authority. Parents are authority figures in the home over their children. That may not be very popular to say in our day today, especially in the Western culture. Parents are more and more being told to just be, you know, good friends with their children. And we fear being authority figures because we don't want to really damage our kids. But God has given parents to rule for the sake of the good of their children. Because the truth is, all of us have to live under authority. God has set up various structures of authority in this world, both in the home and in society and in the church. And each of these structures serve a particular role, and when these structures are operating well, in accordance with God's word, the people under them are blessed. And each of these structures point to the ultimate authority, which is God himself. And so, children, one of the ways that we get used to living under authority in the world is by living under authority in the home and learning what it means in the home and that foundational structure of society to begin to show respect and obedience and honor to our mother and to our father. Obedience means that we submit our wills to the will of another, in this case, even to our parents. We're to obey authority, it says. But God says as well, we're to honor authority, to honor authority. What does it mean to show honor? That's not really perhaps a virtue that's highlighted in the West when it comes to children and their parents at times. It is and it isn't. But it means that we give proper weight to someone. It means that we esteem someone highly, that we regard them as important, and so that we show them our respect. In fact, this word for honor in the Old Testament and the fifth commandment, this word for honor is often translated for glory in relation to God. A glory reminds us of God's weightiness, of his majesty. And so when we honor our parents, we give weight to them and their God-given position as the ones who are ruling over our lives in the name of God. And so as we confess, we're not only to show honor then to our parents, but to all of those who are in authority over us, to government officials, to police officers, to church leaders, to teachers, and the list goes on. We consider their position as those who are ruling for God's glory. Notice here in this text, Paul gives us two reasons for this command that motivate us. Again, connected with the obedience that he's calling children to, he gives two reasons that should motivate us. First, he says, simply, this is right. This is right. that obedience to our parents, it's rooted in the fifth commandment that God gave to his people Israel. And these commandments are written on the very heart of mankind, and we know internally that these things are right. You know, in the Western culture, again, we tend to maybe exalt children, to maybe live for our children, and to maybe leave behind as children honor for our parents, especially in old age, you know, leaving our parents aside perhaps to pursue our own dreams. But in the world at large, that's not the case. Think about it. If you consider African culture, Middle Eastern culture, Asian culture, honoring one's parents is embedded in their way of life. In fact, as you grow older, you never push your parents to the side, but you only increase in showing them your support and honor and care because this is right. This past week, I saw a movie with my wife and with Pastor Greg and Charity on our day off, and it was called Blinded by the Light. It was about a Pakistani family that immigrated from England to pursue a better life in 1987. And this Pakistani family, it goes through their struggles. The father was laid off of work, and so the wife and the children had to pick up the slack to pay the bills, and they were all working so hard to keep afloat. But one of the sons in the movies about him, he was struggling because he really wanted to pursue his dreams. And he was going to college and studying for a degree that he didn't tell his dad about. And the movie is about him really reconciling his passion to pursue his dreams and his desire to honor his parents. And he learns really that success in the truest sense can't be achieved at the expense of the family that he loves. Yeah, that's the fifth commandment right there in action. It's teaching us because we know internally this is right. This is the way things are set up. But the other reason Paul gives here, notice it's actually a promise. Not only because it's right, but he says that it might go well with you. As Paul highlights here, this is the first commandment with a promise. That it might go well with you, that you might live long in the land. In the Old Covenant context, that meant prosperity for the people of Israel in the actual promised land. Israel lived and they received the law of God, and the Lord demanded their faith and obedience, and if they were going to remain in the promised land, they had to believe in the Lord and they had to obey his commands. But in our text, when Paul actually quotes that, he leaves off the very end of that promise about the land that the Lord your God is giving you. He leaves that off, but he still gives it as a promise in its general nature. And this is what Paul is saying. To live long, to enjoy long life, it's really a Hebrew idiom for experiencing the fullness of God's blessing in this life. And this is still a great encouragement for us. As we learn to obey authority, especially in the home, it helps us to live lives that flourish in this life. Honoring the fifth commandment and honoring our parents doesn't guarantee long life. When Paul was writing this letter, many children, didn't live till the age of six. It doesn't guarantee long life to simply honor one's parents, but this promise speaks of experiencing God's blessing because we learn how to operate in this world under authority in the fear of God. That's a great motivation. God says, obey your mom and dad that you might enjoy life, that you might flourish as you begin to learn what it means to fear me in all of these different ways. So those are the two words for the children that we'll come back to when we think about how we fall short, but showing obedience and honor. But what about for the parents here? Parents. Paul highlights especially fathers. We raise our children in the training and admonition of the Lord. In Ephesians, up until this point, Paul has been speaking of father in reference to God. And Ephesians reminds us of God's fatherly love and care and provision. But now he says to earthly fathers, do your work in caring for those that I have placed under your care. Ephesians 5:1, as we heard this morning, be imitators of God as his beloved children. Raising children for Christ is also the call of mothers. Remember, Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5, and he's reminded of the faith of Timothy. That Timothy learned from his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. Paul says, parents, I want you to train your children. Train your children in the Lord. That means we teach them the things of Christ. Deuteronomy 6, if Israel heard this command, you remember all the things that came with that. Deuteronomy 6, I want you to talk about me, God says. Talk about me with your kids in ordinary life. When you're going about the way, when you wake up and when you go to bed, talk about me. Remind them of what I've done for you. God actually says in Deuteronomy 6 later on, when your children begin to ask, what do all these things mean? You got to tell them the story of salvation, God says. Tell them what I did for my people and how I brought you out of Egypt and brought you to the promised land. Remind them of my salvation. And it's the same thing that God is telling us here. He's saying, parents, you need to know me. You need to love me and have a relationship with me. And you need to tell your children the story of salvation. This is what we saw today, just a few moments ago, when Nick and Kristen made that vow to train their children by God's help in these things. They're saying, yes, I will train my children in the teaching, in the fear, in the admonition of the Lord. And together as a congregation, we come alongside them and come alongside all of our covenant youth in the church as the family of God. And together we tell them the story of salvation. God says, train them. And God says, discipline them or raise them up in the admonition, the admonishments of God. We're going to think about discipline, Lord willing, in about a month in our Hebrews series when we come to that point in Hebrews 12. But briefly, we're reminded as parents that we're to provide discipline for our children. And that's takes various forms. But discipline helps us to teach our children how to operate in this world. You know, when we show discipline, the Proverbs remind us it's a form of love for our children. Because we're teaching them that in the world, you live under authority, and if you don't respect authority, it comes with consequences. You lose your job. You go to jail. You could get severely punished in this world if you don't know how to honor and obey authority. And so God says, I want you to raise them up by also disciplining them in the way that they should go. And of course, that's to be done out of the right spirit, not out of rage, not out of personal offense, not in any way that is disproportionate to the offense, but it's to be done in love and with prayer and with consistency. Remember, God says, do these things in the Lord for his name's sake, not for your own name's sake, not for your own agenda, but do them in the Lord. And so what does God require of us, children? Obey your parents in the Lord. Parents, raise your children in the ways of Christ. This brings glory to God. And we come to think of these things more now as we think about how we fall short of this. First, what does this commandment mean? And we see those four things. But now, how do we fall short of this? Again, two words for the kids, two words for the parents. First, how do we fall short of this? We all disdain authority at times, don't we? We disdain authority. We don't like authority over us. In our flesh, we push against authority. This is what happened in the very beginning with Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. They rejected the very authority of God, and in so doing, they brought upon themselves a life of misery. They did not live long in the land that the Lord their God had gave them in Eden, but they brought upon themselves misery because they rejected God's good authority. And the same thing happened with Israel. The fifth commandment teaches us if we cast off authority in the home, we will also do so in other areas of life. As St. Augustine put it, if anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? We all struggle with this. Children, you struggle with this. You push against your parents' authority. And why do we do that? Because in our pride, we think we know what is best. We think that our rules are better, and so we disdain authority. But secondly, how we fall short is we dishonor our parents. We dishonor them. And you know, the opposite of honor is disgrace, disrespect, disobedience. And as sinful people, again, this is what we do, even to our own parents. You know, children, whenever you grumble or complain or talk back, it's not only an offense to your parents, but it's an offense to God himself, and God himself takes this offense very, very seriously. In the Old Testament, there were severe curses on those who actually disobeyed their parents and cursed them It wasn't just for slipping up, but it was for turning their back on their parents. And God takes this seriously. He said in Leviticus 20, verse 9, among other curses, anyone who curses father and mother shall surely be put to death. Why such severity on God's part? Because God wants his people to fear him. In this foundational structure for learning obedience and authority points to the very authority of God himself. And so to disregard one's parents, to curse them, is to set themselves ultimately up against God, to invoke upon themselves a miserable life. You see, this command comes with a promise that you might live long in the land, but the opposite of that is true if you dishonor the Lord. If we dishonor our parents, it brings misery upon us. We won't live flourishing lives. So children, how are you doing with this today? I had to ask myself that question, even as one who lives thousands of miles away from my family. How am I still honoring my parents? I had to give them both phone calls this week and just tell them I love them and I appreciated them and I was thankful for them. But for you teenagers as well, how are you doing with this in the home? Are you humbling yourselves? Are you showing honor to your parents? Or are you disrespecting them, disregarding them, secretly disdaining them in your hearts? Remember, loving your neighbor out there begins with loving your neighbor in your home. The second table of the law begins with your family. You know, we may not always like our parents' rules. I know I didn't when I was a kid. We may not like their attitudes toward us as well at times, but they're still God's means of caring for us. And we're called to honor them. And as the Heidelberg says, to be patient with their weaknesses. We'll come back to that. And even when we find it difficult to respect the person, God says we always have to respect their God-given position as our parents. And so we fall short of this as children when we disdain authority, when we dishonor our parents. But what about for adults? Parents, we fall short of this command when we disregard our responsibility as parents. We fall short of this command when we fail to raise our children in Christ, when we fail to make time to care for them spiritually and to help them grow in the faith of Jesus Christ. We fall short of this when we simply delegate this work to someone else. The Word of God here says, fathers, not primarily Christian schools, not pastors, not elders, not primarily moms, but it actually says, fathers, raise your children in the Lord. Children need their fathers. This means that we have to be present with them. We have to be present with them. Dear brothers, it's God glorifying to work hard with your hands to provide for your family. But that's only part of what God is calling you to. We are also called to raise our children in the Lord, to nourish our wives with the word as well. I was often told in seminary, God has never called us to be faithful in one area, to be unfaithful in another. For seminary, that meant take the B instead of the A if that means your marriage and children don't fall apart. And the same is true for you. Take less hours. Take less of a paycheck. Take a lower position if it means that you could be faithful in all of the areas of life that God is calling you to. You need to be able to be around the table, spending time with your children. Because God says, fathers, I want you to raise my children ultimately in the fear of me. Covenant children, you see, belong to God ultimately. They bear his name in baptism. In a very important sense, you and I are simply stewards of the children that God has blessed us with, entrusted us with. And God says, I want you to raise them for me. And we're going to have to give an account before God for how we have done in this area, how faithful we've been. And so we fall short when we disregard our responsibility as parents. But finally, we fall short when we abuse our authority as parents. That's what Paul gets at here when he talks about provoking our children. Instead of nurturing those in our care, we fall short when we use our authority to hurt them. And this is a grievous sin in God's sight. If you've ever used your position of authority, either as a parent or some other position, to hurt someone verbally or sexually or emotionally, that is sin, God says, and it needs to be confessed. It needs to be repented of. Christian leadership is to be patterned after Christ, after his heart of service and love and devotion. Jesus says in Matthew 18:6, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great milestone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. God takes this seriously. And we abuse our authority when we provoke our children to wrath, as Paul says. Again, this is part of the reciprocal nature of these commands. Children are called, yes, obey your parents in the Lord. That's hard, right? Children, you got to submit your wills to your parents. But now God says to parents, don't provoke your children. Don't provoke them. That's done when we put upon them ungodly demands. We provoke our children when we put on them unreasonable expectations, when we discipline out of anger or hurt pride. When we call them to obedience in an area of life that we ourselves are unwilling to walk in. When we're hypocritical, we're provoking our children to wrath. Beloved, I hope you could feel the way in which we fall short of this. I know I did when I was working on this sermon. None of us have walked in this commandment perfectly, either children or adults. We've all rebelled against authority, and we've all failed to carry our positions as parents. And we need to ask for God's forgiveness, and perhaps we need to ask for one another's forgiveness, both parents to children and children to parents. But we also need to remember the one who's walked in this commandment for us and what that means for us today. So not only what does this commandment mean, not only how do we fall short, but how does Jesus fulfill this command for us? Well, beloved, our Lord Jesus walked in the fifth commandment on our behalf. He honored his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph. Remember, when he was in the temple as a young boy, his parents had to go looking for him after noticing that he was gone after a few days. They weren't the best parents either. And Jesus was in his father's house. He was doing his father's will. But after his parents come to him and call him back, we actually read in Luke 2:51 explicitly, we read, and Jesus was submissive to them, highlighting his obedience even to this command. In his life, Jesus demonstrated what it means to live under authority. He lived in obedience to his heavenly Father. Now, this is not Jesus' role from all of eternity. He is not eternally subordinate to the Father. He is co-equal to the Father in glory and majesty, and he's worthy of worship. But in his earthly ministry, Jesus willingly became the servant and offered obedience to his Father. We see his care in his childhood for his parents, and even from the cross. Even when Jesus was at the cross, beloved, paying for the sin of the world, which included our disobedience to this command, he actually cared for his mother there. You know, Jesus didn't speak many words from the cross, right? There's only seven sayings. But as he was suffering the wrath of God in our place, both body and soul, even from that place, he cared for his mom. John 19, verse 26, he said to her, "Woman, behold your son." Jesus made sure his mother was provided for since he was about to die and pass from this world. He walked in this command for us. He died for our dishonor. Children, it was when we were being bad, when we were being disobedient. It was at that moment that Christ died for us. That's what I often tell my kids when sometimes I have to discipline them. At this moment is when Jesus died for us. He died for our disobedience. But not only that, beloved, from his ascended position, he has now put his Spirit into our hearts that we might learn to honor God. The same Spirit that empowered Jesus to submit to Joseph and Mary, to live under authority in his life and glorify God, that Spirit now dwells in his people to make us people of honor. And so how can we then walk in this command in light of the gospel? Just a few comments as we close. How can we now walk in this command in light of the gospel? Well, first, God's word says we need to honor Christ. We're to honor Christ. John 5:22, for the Father, Jesus says, judges no one, but he has given all of judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Again, we honor Christ when we give him weight, when we give him the glory that's due his name, when we submit our wills to him in love and devotion. And consider this amazing promise of God for those who honor Jesus. John 12:26, Jesus says, if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. That is, if we humble ourselves and honor Christ, God will exalt us with him. And so we're to honor Jesus. But secondly, we're to be a people of honor inside and outside the home. Children, this again means that we're to show honor to our parents. Tell them what you're thankful for today. Let that be part of your normal rhythm of life as a child, to show that love to your parents. Consider how they've provided for you, how they've sacrificed for you, how they've cared for you. And this command, it's for all of our life. Even as we grow up and our parents are perhaps in old age, we're to continue to show honor. This is throughout the Bible. Proverbs 23:22, it says, don't dishonor your mother when she is old. Honor looks different in different seasons of life. But one way you could continue to show honor and appreciation, even to your parents who are a bit more seasoned, is to appreciate them. Appreciate them. Appreciate their efforts. Appreciate their sacrifice. You caused them a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of gray hairs. They had to put up with you and spend money on you and sacrifice for you. Appreciate them. Care for them also physically. You know, I came across a really sad example that took place in France in 2004. A major heat wave had hit France and 15,000 elderly people died. Many of them were abandoned in their homes while their families were on vacation. And after that heat wave, France actually had to put it in law that people had to legally care for their elderly parents. But beloved, in a world where honor is set aside, may we be people of honor, for this is right. How can we walk in this another way? We're to be patient. We're to bear patiently with those in authority over us, especially our parents. Every parent is flawed, and all the children are saying amen in their hearts. But every child is flawed too. All of us are flawed. You know, your parents might have chosen to create you, obviously, but they didn't choose you in particular, right? They didn't choose you. They didn't get to pick you, so you might feel stuck with them, but they're also stuck with you, and we're all flawed. And that's why God says in the household of God, in the church and in the home, you need to be people who show grace and love and mercy and to be patient with each other. The gospel, you see, the gospel is what gives us the ability to show this kind of patience and forgiveness in the home. There are authority structures in the home, but we're all equals at the foot of the cross. And together, we're looking to the same Savior who alone could give us the grace to walk in these roles. And finally, how do we walk in this? As parents, we need to persevere in raising our kids for Christ. The love of God, our Father, rests upon his children. And we have been equipped by the Holy Spirit to carry out this calling. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And so God says, take up your task. You know, perhaps some of you haven't been faithful in raising your kids for Christ. And you feel like a failure. You feel convicted because of that. Perhaps you think things will be so awkward if you start to do that. Let me just encourage you from God's word that as fathers and as mothers, you can do this. Because what God calls his people to, he gives them grace to fulfill. He equips you for what he calls you to. So lean on him. Step out in faith, even when it feels awkward, even when you feel as a dad you don't know what you're doing. Step out in faith and just do something. Fumble and stumble for the glory of God, and he will be, because of his word, he will be at work through you. And so, dear Christian, the fifth commandment says, if you want to enjoy life, learn to show honor in this world. And learn to be patient with others. We're all sinners in need of grace, but God is at work through broken people for our good. And so may the Lord bless us with Christian homes, with gospel-saturated and Spirit-empowered homes where we learn to honor Christ and walk in the fear of God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would cultivate amongst the people here at Living Water, amongst the family of God here, a sense of honor, that we might honor Christ, that we might exalt one another, that we might honor those in our homes, that, Lord, in every way we might be transformed by your word. We thank you for the gospel of Christ that has forgiven us for our sins where we have fallen short of this. That, Lord, if we're convicted in, as parents or as children in how we have fallen short, we thank you for the promise of God, Lord, that as we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that even today and this week, we could step out into newness of life, walking in this command and all the others as well by your grace, knowing that we don't walk in ourselves, but you will be with us. And so equip us, Lord, for this, even this week, and glorify your name in us as we seek to honor Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen.